silent walk. It's always such a blessing coming up here. It's always encouraging. I wanted to take this time to say thank you to all the lovely ladies and the men who were involved in making the meals. I know it's a lot of work, you know, cleaning up every single day after all of us and all my kids, my kindergarten made a huge mess on the floor, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for the fellowship that we've had so far. It's overwhelming. I love it. It's so good. It's just like a spiritual hug, you know. And I also, every year I have to thank the nursery workers. They go above and beyond. It's a sacrifice being in that room, that small room with no windows, with little kids. So I really wanted to thank you. And this mission conference has just been a true revival to my heart. It's been just a huge refreshment, and I'm thankful to all the preachers, all the missionaries, all the missionary wives who have spoken. It's awesome. I wanted to give you guys a little update in our family. Cosette, a couple months ago, asked Jesus to save her. And it's just been, the timing of it was just awesome, and the Lord knew what he was doing when he did it, and it was just, it was beautiful. You know, growing up in the mission field, you see people get saved all the time, and it's awesome. It's always like, woohoo, you know, it's a party. But whenever it's your own kid, oh, it's just, it's an unexplainable joy. And when she, you know, got it and grasped it and went into her room, and the next morning she came out and told us, like, Mommy, Daddy, I got saved. And, you know, we're like, oh, are you sure? But no, she really did. If you ask her, she'll tell you, you know, and she's preaching to her little sister saying, you need to get saved, because if not. So thank you for praying for her, and I can't wait to see, Lord willing, my other three little girls get saved too.
Amen.
I also wanted to thank you guys, this church, personally so much, as it's been said already by my whole family. But thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for praying for Lila. It was without a doubt one of the hardest, you know, spiritual battles I've ever gone through.
Yep.
And it was just, wow. I honestly have no words for what we went through, but, you know, the Lord pulled us through. He pulled Lila through, and I have no doubt that it was a lot to do with this church and their fervent prayers. You know, people that I didn't even know existed were calling me and telling me, like, we're praying for you, we got your back, sending me scripture every single day, you know, scripture that I haven't read in months or years, and it's just insane. Yes. The amount of people that just came out of nowhere, you know. And I wanted to speak a little bit on that, on what we went through and what it taught me personally. And as crazy as this might sound, I'm thankful that we were chosen, in a sense, to go through this, because it taught me so many lessons that I'm not going to have time to go through all of them, but it taught me so, so, so much. It strengthened us as a family. It strengthened my marriage. You know, Cosette, got to see God in a way that she probably wouldn't have experienced had we not gone through this situation. It encouraged our church. It brought us closer. A lot of churches from Mexico kept writing us and say, you don't know how much we've, you know, gotten together in unity and prayed for your daughter. And it's just insane how the Lord took this and used it for his honor and glory. And so I'm honestly thankful for that. And Matt kind of already told you what happened and, you know, the beginning of it. And when we saw Lila getting a little bit, you know, not Lila, it was so scary. I called Matt and I told him, Matt, you need to take her to the emergency room because she's just not acting like herself. And I don't know if you guys have heard, but when she was 2 years old, she also had a convulsion. It wasn't as critical, but she did have to get CPR, and she came out and she was okay. The difference was that we were in the States, you know, and so I wasn't as fearful, I guess you could say, because I knew the medical team here is night and day compared to Mexico. And so when this started happening, as Matt is walking out the door, the last thing I told him, please, whatever you do, do not take her to a government hospital. That was like, please, please do not, and don't leave her side. Those were my two, you know, please, Matt. 40 minutes later, I had to stay back with the other three girls. And so 40 minutes later, I get a phone call from our pediatrician. And he tells me, I just want to fill you in on what's going on and what Lila has. And he said, look, I'm pretty sure she has something that's called encephalitis. We don't know what the cause is, but it's basically where a bacteria gets in your bloodstream, travels to your brain, and her brain is swelling, which is why she's not responding to the commands or whatever. And so he's talking all of this, and then the next phrase he says is, I sent your husband to the Niño Poblano, which is a government hospital. And so I'm just like, what? Like, I have no words. I'm just in like, how did this happen, you know? And I've never experienced, you know, being wordless, you know, just speechless completely. And he's just telling me all this information, all this, and fear 100% starts creeping in. And I start to kind of have a little panic attack, like, what is happening? Because he's telling me we're going to intubate her, we're going to put her in an induced coma, and we don't know how she's going to come out of it. We don't know how long she's going to be in this situation. And then he said something that just, you know, woke me up. He said, because he knows our story, he knows why we're in Mexico and our ministry and all that, and so we've had a really good relationship with him. And so he told me in that phone call, Lauren, this is the time that you need to pray. You need to pray and you need to have faith in your God. And in that moment, it just, I woke up spiritually. And it's a moment that I will never forget, because it's as if the Lord, my entire life, he just prepared me for this moment. All these verses started flooding my brain, and I just had to surrender to it. Yeah. And put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that moment, because if I hadn't had God, I don't think I could have gone through it. You know, I don't know how many people go through life and challenges and tribulations without God on their side. And I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to experience that and just filled me with his Holy Spirit, because I also knew I had three other girls that I had to take care of by myself in that moment. And I knew I needed to be strong for them. And so it was just a complete surrender to God. Like I said, it didn't mean that I wasn't worried or scared, but I knew that at the end of the day, he was God and his will was going to happen no matter what, no matter where she was, no matter what state she was. God was in control and not me, not man. And it just so happened that prior to all the situation, I had been working with the girls on memorizing some scripture, and we decided to go through our ABCs. So A for a letter that starts with A with a verse. And so we got to the letter C, and we chose to do casting all your care upon him. And that night, I had to tell the girls, you know, like, Lila is going to be in the hospital for a while. We don't know how long, but it's serious, and this is our time that we need to pray to God for her to pull through.
Yeah.
And Cosette was like, oh, like the letter C, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about, the letter C? And she says, casting, right? This is when we have to cast. And I was just like, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for this blessing, you know, that she understood what casting meant. And that just really helped me those first couple days, because we truly didn't know anything. As was said, the government hospital, they really don't give you any information, and you're just completely in the dark. And so those little breadcrumbs that, you know, the Lord sends just carried us through completely. And I never asked God why, honestly. I never asked him, why is this happening? Why now? Why Lila? Because I knew that afflictions are going to come. You know, I'm thankful that I serve a God who told me, you know, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulations. So don't be surprised, you know. And it's crazy, because I had just given a message to our ladies. We had a women's fellowship, and it was my turn to give the study. And it just so happened to be that was one of my main points, you know, like, learning to trust God. You're going to have afflictions and stick the course. And less than 24 hours, I'm being tried full throttle for that. And all these verses just came. And I was so thankful for that. So it's just like I said, those little things. And when you hear in the ministry, you hear a lot about people's problems, people suffering, and, you know, and you feel for them. You really do. You pray, you try to encourage them as best as you can with the word of God. But whenever it's your child, and it's not like it hit near your house, it hit your house, you know, this trial, this tribulation. It's a completely emotion that I've never experienced, you know, and it was time to put everything that we've known and believed to the test. And so I want to turn to Psalms 107. And I'm also thankful that we serve a God who knows our limits.
Amen.
You know, He knows what will bring us to our complete breaking point. And it's in those moments that He works His best. He shows how mighty He is, how much His word can go and help you and bring you comfort and peace when, you know, everything around you is crumbling and you see no end in sight. But it's when He just, wow, explodes. In Psalms 107, it says, and verse 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses."
Amen.
You know, sometimes when I'm in, like, my boat or whatever, and, you know, the sun is shining, everything is fine, there's no storm, there's no winds, it's just nice. You know, you're going in your ministry, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, and then the storm hits. And that's when, you know, your boat starts to shake and you start to get scared and tremble. And, you know, as this verse said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. In their weakness literally drove them to Him. It drove them to look upward. And you know, through this situation, I honestly, before this, I thought I knew how to pray. I thought I knew what fervent prayer was, you know, but I didn't. I can honestly say I have never in my life prayed as hard and with so much urgency and almost like a spiritual anger. Like, Lord, please help us get through this situation, because we know that You can, and You're the only person who can help us through this. And I came across this quote. It says, "If hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful to us than feasting. If thirst drives us to the fountain, it is better than the deepest droughts of worldly joy. If fainting leads us to cry, it is better than the strength of the mighty." And there in Psalms 107, in verse 12, it says, "Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses."
Amen.
You know, we pray best when we are falling and failing on our faces in painless helplessness. We have no one else than God to run to. And, you know, let God use this trouble, this tribulation, this trial to bring you to the place where you cry to Him and just complete and utter distress. And there in the same Psalms in verse 18 through 19, it says, "There their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses."
Thank you, Lord.
And in verse 29, it says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." So He is the only one to turn to when life gets rough. And in New York, one of the pastors has always said, "Don't waste your heartache." And wow, that was hard to do. It was really hard to ask God to use my daughter for His honor and glory. And like I said, there was a couple days where we didn't know if she was going to make it. We didn't know if she was going to come back to being the crazy Lila that we knew. But we serve a God who, I knew that He could. I knew that he could. And I kept saying, I know you're able and I know you can.
Amen.
You can just speak the words and she'll wake up. With all the medicine in the world, it's just you. And I thought of Daniel. If we can turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will serve, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And I was focusing a lot on that, but if not. Even if you don't pull her through, even if she's not the Lila that I know that she is, help me. Help me be firm in you no matter what.
Amen.
Help me be the wife that I'm supposed to be. Help me be the mother that I'm supposed to be. Please, even if you are still God, you are still in control, and I still want to love you the same way.
Amen.
And, wow, we have an enemy who is very real, very, very real. And I have been tempted through that situation a lot to just, I'm done, you know, just so much emotion. It was so, so draining. I mean, after everything was said and done, it hit Matt and I just like a ton of bricks. And we were just like, wow, did we really just go through all of that? It was so real. And this enemy that we have, he is waiting. He's waiting for that exact moment of exhaustion of, you know, when he knows that you're thirsty and here, just have this cup of water, you know? And he knows when we are discouraged. And he wants us to pack up and leave and say, you know what? I'm done. Forget everything. I'm done. I just don't know what else to do anymore. But that's when, you know, the Lord comes in and you need to rely on him. And in these moments, it's an amazing way how God can just take all of it away and he can get the glory. So his word, you know, the devil doesn't want his word to be preached. He doesn't want it to go out. But remember, we serve a God who has already won. He's already won the battle. He's already won the victory. And so choose to serve God no matter what. No matter what comes out, no matter what trials, what tribulations, he is worthy. He is so worthy. He is so good. He is so faithful.
Amen.
He's proven it on the cross when he suffered and died for us and rose again from the dead. What more can we give than to surrender fully to him, even if that means going through this crazy trial, you know? And I'm, like I said, I'm so thankful to have gone through this, and I'm thankful to have a church back home who was ready on their knees and praying and crying for us. I have no words other than thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Amen.